to those of you who will be joining us on the recording on the website later. We do hope you feel a part of our service today. As a church, we meet with Highworth URC, our sister church, and as part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. There are plenty of notices in the weekly news, but I need to draw your attention to two extra ones. First of all, the elders' elections will take place on Sunday the 18th of May at our AGM after the morning service, and we really need you to attend. Up for election are Vivian Blakesley and Michael Dismore, and two elders who are standing for re-election are Maria and Don. And the extra other notice is about next Sunday, when we have our confirmation service here. And due to the large number of vehicles that we're expecting, can you please car share with other members of the congregation if at all possible? Thank you. Thank you for your cooperation, Buildings and Grounds, that comes from. Our reader this morning is Jenny Powley. And we will now have a few moments of quiet while I light the Christ candle and the peace candle, and we prepare to worship God.
Good morning and welcome to our service today, all of you. The sun shines, but it's not as warm as it has been. But I must admit, a number of people, not necessarily of the congregation, but people I know, have said, "Oh, when's this heat going to go?" The reality is that heat is a relative concept. Because for us it may be very hot, but for other people I've been talking to, somebody I saw this week said, "This is a cool day where I come from." Not somebody born on our islands, let's put it that way. So there we are. It's a joy to see the sun still shining, and it's a joy to see you here and gather for worship today. And singing the call to worship from Psalm 30 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name." And this is what we will be doing: singing, giving thanks, praising God, rejoicing in our fellowship. And as Kerry did say, as the church with Highworth, as the old partnership of churches, and as we prepare for next Sunday service, where most of all that will be happening in this building, except that Highworth is secure, it's the second Sunday of the month, so they'll be having worship in their church. Let us rejoice and sing, which is what the psalm says, and it's the title of our hymn book, which we begin today. 264, He is Lord, He is Lord. That was good. A good way to start the service, wasn't it? I do confess that the thought of every knee shall bow is a complicated one if you don't have something to hold on to get up after you have knelt. I presume that in the spirit of worship, that's when the Holy Spirit enters and helps us rise after we've knelt. Or at least I hope so. We have so much to celebrate, but also so much to think about and be aware in what our living and our faith implies. We have so much to celebrate in the beauty that surrounds us and in the hearing about what God's plans are, but also to be aware that so much of what is happening in the world today is a challenge. If any of you that follow the Fresh from the Word, the readings last week and the beginning of this week have been absolutely fantastic, talking about trees. And the reading today is from Micah, the famous prophecy in chapter 4. And it also includes that you will live under your vine or fig tree. And those are trees and plants that are very Middle Eastern. And we know that many of those groves have been dug up and destroyed. So the simple beauty of the words of the prophecy are now really a challenge to be able to live those words for some people. So this is, in this spirit, we gather for worship. And let us pray and join in the words of the Lord's Prayer at the end of this prayer. Let us pray. Lord, sing praises, says the psalmist. Sing praise is the title of our hymn book. And the choir sings, and we join in singing, and it's natural to us, and we love it. And we sing of the joys, but also of the difficulties of life. We can't be silent. We are challenged to find and see and communicate what our faith is. And we long to turn that into praise. And the reality is, we can sing alone at home. And that's sometimes where we can sing as loud as we want. Not everybody will be listening to us. But also we sing together. And if we can become aware that singing together, even when we are here at Emmanuel, but that in other parts of the world, your people are singing, that brings us together. Because praise and worship is common to us all. So thank you. Thank you for what you have given us, for the eyes that can see and the heart that can feel, that even when our eyes are shady, the warmth, the kindness, the beauty of life is communicated. We thank you for the way you have turned our lives upside down. Not very easy to start off with, but in that turning upside down, we discover new things that you have called us to be. Of your grace that continues to be real. And as grace that it is, we don't always deserve it, but that's why it's grace. But you have never stopped loving us. Your presence and your compassion. We're still in the few Sundays after Easter, and we're still living that experience of lives being transformed. But it takes time. It doesn't happen automatically. Thank you that you don't give up on us. And even when we come empty-handed, with not much to give, we can never give as you give. But we can try to love as we are loved. And thank you that you give us the opportunity to correct our mistakes, to change the way we live, to do that which is right. As we will hear in the Bible reading in a few moments, Peter and all the apostles who wanted their best in the last days with Jesus were welcomed, were nurtured, were fed, were loved. We count on that same grace and love. Forgive us when we take it for granted. Forgive us for forgetting. Forgive us for denying what you are and who you are, often through our actions or our indifference. Forgive us when we don't celebrate what is there to be celebrated. Forgive us for not bringing to you even our brokenness and our sadness and our mistakes. Forgive us if we become too afraid of what goes on around us. And forgive us for those times that we lose our temper and we lash out, often against those who have nothing to do with our anger. Help us to be better, to be loving, to be caring, to be transformed through your grace, to be the better people you want us to be. Guide us, walk with us, hear our prayer, and as your children we say together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir will now lead us in the anthem. which is the Easter song of praise.
The New Testament reading can be found on page 112 in the Bibles in the pews. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. The passage tells us about the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and he hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Jenny, for leading us in the reading. Promising praise now. Hymn 304.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness.
Thank you.
when we read your word, O Lord, when we hear your word being read. We also pray for the Spirit that will guide our understanding and the courage to become your followers. Amen. The passage we've just heard is considered the epilogue of the Gospel of John. Oh, we could also say the second epilogue, because verses 30 and 31 of chapter 20, many consider that's where it closed. This time we only have seven disciples, and it's a very weird arrangement. Three are mentioned by name. Two we can identify through their father, but we know their name, James and John. And two are neither named nor identified, except by two. They could be, I don't know. Interesting that after all the confusion, Thomas is mentioned. After the doubting and the sequence of events in Thomas's life, he's there and he's mentioned. So it would seem, at least in the way the narrative is built, that grudges don't last too long. The interesting thing about all this, and it raises a question deep in me that has been haunting me all week, is the disciples have gone back to what most of them did before Jesus appeared in their life. Do you remember? These that are being mentioned were fishing. And Jesus goes up and says, come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of people. 3 years they were with Jesus, learning, accompanying the ministry. And then when he's not there, they seem to go back to what they were doing before. Is this in their mind the way they feel that life should be? Because interesting, the last words of the reading that Jenny read for us just now, the last two words are the words, follow me. And that's how the whole story began for them. So, when we go back to normality, quote unquote, to the things that we used to do before, is it expecting another calling? Is it expecting to believe that, well, things will gradually get back to normal and we can go back to what we were and from there we can be the disciples? It's a challenging question. And I think we all go through it one time or another. What's God expecting from me? What should I do? How do I do it? Well, we are told they spend the night fishing and catch nothing. Interestingly, it's Peter who decides he's going to go, and they say, well, we'll come with you. And they spend all the night fishing. Probably it's not the first time in their life that they've spent a night fishing and caught nothing. I never had the patience to be any good at fishing whatsoever. My father said he liked fishing. And wherever we went on holiday, close to where they would be fishing, he would take his tackle. Probably once in the whole, let's say, 15 days holiday, that would come out. And we'd go fishing, and he wanted to teach me, probably. If anything, he taught by silent example, because he never told me what exactly to do. But he never caught anything. I can't remember Daddy ever catching anything. I just thought, grown up, looking back, said, he just probably wanted a time alone, because he knew that if he said, hey, who wants to come with me fishing? Oh, you like going. Why don't you go? We'll wait for you here. And Mummy would say, well, if you catch something, we can have it for dinner tonight. While she would set to and prepare dinner because she knew what was coming. She'd known him before we did. Some people are made for fishing. Others aren't. But eventually, some of these disciples are called to be, or continue to be, the fishers. Fishers of men is the usual translation. But in the early morning, after all night being out in the lake, when they are giving up, this stranger to them, not to us, but a stranger to them, stands there and says, oh, how's the night gone? Have you caught a lot? No, not one. And so he says, well, throw the net on that side instead of on this side. Again, a funny moment, because Jesus, whom we know the stranger is, was a carpenter. What did he know about fishing? Was he talking about fish? Yes and no. Those who were the experts hadn't got on very well. So they follow his instructions, probably saying, what's to lose? And apparently this is an immediate moment. The result is surprising because they catch so much that they can't really haul the nets in. And then the disciple that has been identified but not named, simply by the one that loved Jesus, says, that's the Lord. So we have two moments of Peter, such Peter moments. I think it's the only time in the Bible we have the image, or let's say the words, it's up to us to create the image, that Simon was naked. Simon Peter was naked. That was quite a common thing for fishers of that. It wasn't a scandal. And so what does he do? He dresses. At least he becomes decent for what is going to follow. And the second thing, he jumps out of the boat and runs to the side of the lake where this stranger is, who is now identified as the Lord. Sort of Peter, oh, you get on with this. I'm going to run to him. You can get the catch out of the boat. And there, the stranger has a small fire with bread and fish. But there's something interesting here that we can't overlook. Jesus says, bring some of the fish you've caught. He wants them to participate in what is going to happen, though he had everything there for them. And now let us take a deep breath, a really deep breath, because in the scene that follows, we are being talked to in a very, very special way. The first thing we've got to remember is that fishing in the dialogue with the disciples in the Bible is not only catching fish. It is a symbolic action that is identified with our mission. Whether we like fishing or not, it's not about throwing the nets or using the fishing rod. It's about what we do. It's a symbol of calling, of discipleship. The second point is, there's a number mentioned there. Do you remember what the number is? 153. What is it? Is that important? Why would you put 153? Well, apparently it's more important than what we realize. Don't stick with 153. Don't stick with that. Remember that it's there, but today, if we stick to 153, we're missing out. On one hand, it could be important because those whose task it was to be fishers were taxed by the Romans according to the fish that they'd fished. So 153 is giving a tax number there. But there is another interpretation, a very old interpretation, closer to the action. Well, closer by than we were. Jerome, a 4th century theologian, had the theory that 153 fishes in the Bible represent all fishes. It's not just a number, it represents a totality. And they're called big fish. He stated its meaning is there because in the church, the net, the task of the disciples to communicate faith, there should be space for all. Everybody is invited into this. So in this sense, 153 is a representation of the human race in its totality. Augustine, probably a bit more famous than Jerome, believed the fish miracle represented all kinds of people being saved by the gospel net. So there's an interesting fact behind this. And as we will read, as soon as their breakfast is over, a breakfast cooked with part of those of that totality, we have the dialogue with Peter. And we're even told that Peter gets annoyed. He feels hurt. Three times he's asked by Jesus, "Do you love me?" And it's probably until the third time that he might connect why it is three times. It's one time for each he denied him on the night of the judgment. "Before you hear the cock crow, you will have denied me." Not only he denied, but the story in the gospel tells us he swore. I mean, he made it quite clear. "I don't know that guy. I don't want to have anything to do with him." "Oh, no, but you speak like him." "No, I don't." The third time, in the irritation, Peter turns around and says to him, "You know I love you." He said it once, he said it twice. How many more times, Jesus, do you want me to tell you I love you? And then we see the transformation. He has gone from denier to affirmer. And he's also told, at least we are told, that in the wrapping up of the dialogue, Jesus is saying, "You're going to end up by giving your life in faithfulness." And then the words, "Follow me." That's how it all began. And this is the wonderful thing of this passage. The epilogue of the gospel is telling us that no matter what Peter did, he was still included in God's plans. No matter what or how many times he denied, he was restored. And there the disciples on the beach, 7 out of the 11 left. And you've heard me say this before, I firmly believe that if Judas had had the opportunity to go to Jesus and said, "I messed it up. I did the worst of the worst. I sold you." Instead of taking his own life, I believe deep down that he would have been restored as Peter was. And those that ran away, that "follow me" is for all of them. Do you see what we're trying to say here? And what the gospel is trying to say is that in love, we put up many excuses not to be who we know and God knows we can be. But when we realize, we can come to Jesus and say, "Sorry, you know I love you." And as many times as we have messed up, we have the opportunity of repeating those words. And then the 153, there is room for all. And this is so appropriate with what is happening now, where in many parts of the world, the church seems to be getting to be a sort of a private members club. where only those who have been accepted by the appropriate committee are allowed in, where all is not the word. It's getting, sadly, to be not the church. And yet, at the same time, we see and read and hear about people all over the world who are insisting that the church is for all. And that is the tension that is going on in this moment. Many people have probably forgotten that the 153 of the fish is a symbol of that totality. Who would not be allowed in? If Peter was restored and the other apostles who ran away were allowed to become the first of the group, who would expand that? If the persecutor Saul, which is another of the readings we could have had this morning, on his road to Damascus, after having put Christians in jail and had them brought to justice, after a president, you know who, circulated on his private page and in the official page the image of him as the next pope, and making, it's only a joke, saying, I'd love to be pope, probably having forgotten that he wasn't Roman Catholic, and that is, to be pope, a sort of a basic requirement, if you understand what I mean. And the church has responded and said, please don't mock us, particularly in the week that we're still mourning the death of our pope, and on Wednesday the conclave begins to elect a successor, of which you won't be one. So many things happen in church, not all of them good. To those of you who read Reform Magazine, the issue for this month has a couple of brilliant articles, one by Susan Derber, R. Susan Derber, URC, also the world Susan Derber. She works in the highest position practically within the World Council of Churches, talking of the Council of Nicaea. And you know, well, the Council of Nicaea, go to Rejoice and Sing and look for it. It's at the back, I think, isn't it? You have the Nicene Creed. We don't use it too often because it's a bit wordy, but it's 1,700 years old this year. And she talks about it. And then they interview the guy that first heard about the biggest child molester the churches in our country have ever had, who then exported his talents, and I'm being very cynical here, to South Africa and to Zimbabwe. And you get the best and the worst in one cover. Between the two covers of Reform Magazine, you get about song, you get about prayer, you get about the good and the bad. So there is always an inspiration. We can't ignore the bad, the denial of Peter, but we can incorporate it to our life and make a difference. We can't say we haven't messed up, but that doesn't exclude us. To the messers up, Jesus has said, come. Come with me. Let's walk this path together. This epilogue of the Gospel of John opens the way ahead for us in the setting things right, and the opportunity we all have of setting things right. And we're still learning on how to respond to this in love and kindness and mercy that we see in Jesus. He didn't start again from scratch. He picked up where he'd left off and called those people with those words, follow me. That's where we are today. And we can put as many excuses as we would like to put,
but the words "follow me" are still there. Let's believe it. Let's run the risk. Let's rejoice that it is part of our mission. To God be the glory forever and ever. Let us pray. God of the new fire and feasting at daybreak, come to us in the dullness of routine and in the pain of betrayal. Call us in the way of the cross and the joy of the resurrection through Jesus Christ, who reminds us time and time again that we can follow him. Amen. From Sing Praise, let us sing hymn 170. What shall our greeting be? Jesus is Lord. Sign of our unity, Jesus is Lord. At this time in our service, let us share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. You give us in every form, in different ways. We set apart this which is here in the plate, or what we can give in different ways, together with what is in the box that will later be distributed to the food collective. Bless the offering
bless what we can give and bless our lives, that in every way what we do may glorify your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Few seconds we will gather for our prayers of intercession. In just sharing information, I don't want to put it in written in the weekly news, but tomorrow Achetsu travels to Nigeria for the memorial service of her mother who died a few weeks ago, and she'll be meeting family, and as she said to me, being the eldest of the daughters, I can't not be there. But that means that she won't be here for the confirmation of her two daughters. But Dad and the brothers will be here. And she says, I was with them when a few weeks ago they were baptized. So, and she was confirmed last year. So look at that. In a year, half the family has been confirmed. So just remember her in Nigeria, and she'll be back a few days after next Sunday. And we think of the young people who will be confirmed. Nine will be here as part of the service. Two of them are from other churches that are outside the partnership, just to let you know if you don't know them. They are not being able to participate in their services in their own church for different reasons. And as the Bishop of Swindon will be here, we'll all be confirming them, but they won't be doing it in their own church then. Let us now gather for worship in prayer of intercession. Dear God, though we know the story, we are grateful that we are still surprised for your patience, your never-ending love, and your grace. And in this world, that grace needs to fly high and shine bright. So our prayers are for those who need hope, for those who are searching without really finding, and they don't know where to go. For those who feel that everything is going in the wrong direction. And for those who feel that they can't sink any lower. Meet them where they are. And remind them of your grace. We pray for those who have wandered far away from you and from other people. And for those who, on the journey of life, they are putting distance to those who love them. For those who are asking big, big questions and haven't found even the smallest of answers yet. And for those who are beginning to ask themselves, where can I find God? Come and meet them where they are. May your light shine in their lives, that they may discover that there is nothing too far from gathering together with you. For those who are on the margins of life and find every day a struggle to survive. For those who rely on food banks or search in the rubbish, those that sleep under tunnels on pieces of cardboard, for those where hospitals have been destroyed, for those where no food reaches them. Meet them where they are, O Lord, and be for them the bread of heaven and also the bread of life that is needed now. For those who are beginning new moments in life, different from what they imagined. For those that are sitting exams, for those that are planning the way ahead, but also for those that simply live the moment because they don't know where to look. And for those whose tomorrow is very difficult because of the decisions of today. Meet them where they are, O Lord, and speak the words they need to hear. We pray, O Lord, for those in positions of authority and responsibility in government in any and every form, for those that are out to make their own gains, and for those who want to serve others. And after the meeting on Thursday, we pray for our MP, Heidi Alexander, and we pray for all those that seek your guidance and serve. O Lord, meet them where they are, that they may know they have a task ahead. For the church universal, the local church, our congregation of Emmanuel with Highworth, the Old Town Partnership of Churches, the Confirmation Sunday, next Sunday, and those who will be confirmed. That journey of life may be one of seeds that have been cast and now bloom. For those who know that they are approaching the end of their journey and are filled with fear, for their families and loved ones, be with them on this journey, that they may realize and remember they aren't alone. And for those who are filled with joy, happiness, hope, that they too may know that they aren't alone and can share it. We pray for those we love, nearby and far away, for those who will be embarking on journeys to meet family and friends. Lord, we present them to you in the silence that follows. Loving God, we pray for ourselves, wherever we are on this journey, with doubts or questions, with assurances, with fear, with hope, wherever we are, meet us on our journey, call us by our name. We are yours and want to follow you. Hear our prayer and help us to love, to serve, and know that we are always welcome to your grace. Amen. And our final hymn from Rejoice and Sing, hymn 355, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild restless sea.
Day by day, his voice is sounding, saying, Christian, follow me. And if you've heard those two words before, you know where they come from. Loving God, feed us, nurture us, encourage us. The journey ahead, with you walking with us, and give us your peace so that we may be able to share that peace in a world that is hungry for peace. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and the people of God everywhere. This day and forevermore. Amen.